You're listening to Coffee with Innomate Finance, where we speak with experts from the industry on the changing face of financial services and the future of fintech and financial innovation. I am Rashi Pandey, Associate Director of Membership and Growth, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Colin Galster, who's the COO at Nova Credit. So Nova Credit is a modern credit bureau with two products that help businesses make more fair and informed decisions on millions of thin file, no credit history, or new to country applicants. So thank you so much for joining me today, Colin.
Thanks for having me, Rashi. Pleasure to be here.
So for those who haven't heard of Nova Credit yet, could you talk us through your background, what Nova Credit is, and the original idea behind it? And if you could take us through the journey, you know, from Stanford to today, that would be amazing.
Of course, yeah. Well, thank you again for having me. It's a delight to be able to discuss with you Nova Credit. For those who haven't heard, Nova Credit is a data and analytics infrastructure company that is helping to build a more fair and inclusive financial system for the world. And the way that we're doing that is we are building the infrastructure to fill in the cracks that exist in the legacy credit reporting system. So we use the power of open finance to access unique kinds of data sets and produce analytics that help consumers put their best foot forward when applying for credit products and help businesses grow responsibly by assessing individuals more comprehensively and more accurately. We started out focusing on one specific crack in the legacy credit reporting system, which is the new to country population who fall in between or outside of the bounds of what the legacy system is able to provide insight into. So the business was founded in the US in 2016 as part of a class project in graduate school. I was studying for my MBA at Stanford University, and I met members of the other members of the founding team, including Misha Esipov, Nikki Goulimis, and Luke Jansen. And we participated in a class where we took a design thinking approach toward solving financial challenges. And so in the course of this class, we were interviewing hundreds of classmates around the campus at the university. And doing that over and over again, patterns start to emerge. And I think there was a clear pattern that half of the student body, roughly, was studying abroad in the US in order to obtain their degree. And 100% of that half were struggling with the basic problem of getting access to a line of credit for a credit card, getting access to a flat for without having to put down a major guarantee or deposit, getting access to a new phone device without having to get their third uncle to sign for them, and so on and so forth. And so we realized as part of that investigation that this was a challenge. It wasn't created because businesses are evil, and it's not because credit bureaus are dumb. It's a data access problem. The infrastructure doesn't exist. People were moving across borders, but their financial identity was not moving with them. And that was because of gaps in the infrastructure. So the first crack, so to speak, that we identified was this one, supporting new to country or newcomers, and helping them get access to the products and services that they need from day one upon arrival. So that was the genesis of the company, kind of the aha moment, was that the right way to approach this problem was to build the necessary infrastructure to fill in those gaps. And since then, we've continued to grow and are very proud to have built a lasting footprint in the US. We've also expanded to other markets to bring this product into the UK, which I'm excited to share more about, and continuing to grow and evolve the business along the way.
You know, what really resonated with me was the fact that you said your financial identity moving with you. And as an immigrant myself, I can completely see how important this is to individuals and to businesses as well, right? So I've met some of your team in the US, which is amazing. And about the UK, you said you've, you know, expanded to different markets. And I know that you have been in the UK for almost a year now. So what do you offer here? Is it different and to whom?
So our journey in the UK began in the middle of COVID, actually. So we made the strategic decision that the UK was a priority for us, in part because of the sheer number of newcomers who are living in the UK. And the UK continues to be, for many reasons, a beacon that attracts more and more new-to-country populations, more immigrants. And so we knew it was a question of when and how, and not really a question of if, that we would bring our products and services to the UK. We obtained our licensing to deliver services as a credit reference agency in 2022. And then we've continued to expand and grow our footprint in the UK since then. What I would say what we do is very similar to the core or sort of the product that we pioneered in the US, which is the Nova Passport product, which is one by which, as a immigrant who arrives into the UK, you can from day one bring your credit history with you as part of a credit application for goods and services in the UK and use that information for your benefit as part of your credit evaluation. The UK, I think, is a, why the UK? Why not other places? I mean, I mentioned it's a beacon for new to country, but the other thing to call out is that virtually all major advanced economies are in demographic decline. We know for structural reasons that the birth rate in major countries like the US, like Canada, and like the UK has been lowering over time. And in fact, the population growth, the source of population growth, is increasingly from immigration. And so by 2025, 100% of UK population growth is expected to come from immigrants. So the UK is still growing as a country. It's just that the majority and soon all of that population growth is going to come from this population. So we know that businesses are in a position, whether they like it or not, one way or another, they're going to be serving the new to country population. The only question for those businesses is what tools and what data are they using to actually assess that population and serve them as best as they possibly could, and consistent with their duties and obligations to serve those customers well. So the product Nova Passport was launched. We have made it available. So we have 15 countries from which we can retrieve credit history. We translate that information to a UK standard, and then we deliver it instantly and in real time and seamlessly to businesses that are using credit information to assess the new-to-country population.
And are you partnering with, other firms here? Because, it is a key element, partnerships with lenders and financial services providers, it is a key element in your proposition. So who are you partnering with, if any here, and what impact are you really having with your Nova Passport product?
Yeah, a core part of our business model is that we are principally a B2B business. So the customers who use our product are the businesses that are trying to assess consumers. Now, consumers may encounter our product by applying for credit products. And in the UK, we announced our relationship with HSBC in last month. And so we're very proud to share the news publicly that HSBC, as part of their credit application and onboarding journey for internationals, anyone who applies for any HSBC credit card application in the UK now has the opportunity to append their home country credit history. And in the course of that application, you'll encounter our technology, and that allows people to get approved for HSBC credit cards from day one. And so we think that's a very meaningful step toward being able to help people arrive and thrive in the UK. It's not the entirety of the problem. We're not declaring victory, but it goes a long way to be able to show up and land on your feet from day one. And so our relationship with HSBC is the only customer relationship that we are currently public with in the UK, but we have been, I would say, validated in our suspicions that there's a lot of appetite from businesses, both financial institutions, but also fintechs that are serving the UK population and encountering a chunk of new to country applicants with whom they're struggling to, fairly assess. And we have a number of those relationships that I expect we'll be able to share more about in the future.
But that's amazing news. Congratulations, by the way. That is great.
Thank you.
So, what practical advice would you give to other fintech leaders, who are trying to make partnerships between fintechs and incumbent, financial institutions work?
Yeah, there's no shortcuts, would be my advice. I think the way to make enterprise partnerships work at scale and work, make them work successfully and make them work on an enduring basis is bringing, it's three things. It's excellence, it's integrity, and it's trust. And those are the three ingredients that I think you have to bring to bear, because working with large scale partnerships to build infrastructure, you know, from the perspective of the partner, they're bringing you in into the house, so to speak, to provide plumbing. And so they need to be able to believe that you can do that at the level of excellence that they themselves hold themselves accountable to. And they need to be able to trust you in the same way they trust their own employees. And they need to know that, when I say integrity, that you will also act in a way that's consistent with their interests. And so for us, I think we have a very deep partnership playbook. We are known in the US for our customer relationships, including American Express and Verizon Wireless, among others. In Canada, we partner with leading financial institutions like Scotiabank. And then here in the UK, we partner with HSBC, of course, as I mentioned. And I think the core ingredients, of course, the context of those businesses are very different. The technology stacks are very different. The regulatory regimes are very different. But what's consistent across all of them is our partnership motion and the approach we take that I just mentioned.
I love how you said that is the commonality between all the markets for you guys. So shifting gears a little and moving on to open banking, because I am aware that you guys do have an open banking product. But, you know, open banking in the UK has been making progress, but there's, of course, a lot more that has to be done. And looking at open banking in the UK, comparing it to the US, where perhaps open finance is arguably, you know, more progressed. What's your perception of what's working well and what needs to improve? And what are the hurdles and opportunities that you see?
Yeah, I think, I mean, open finance, just to take a step back, it's a new paradigm, right, compared to the legacy system. So if I had to characterize it in short, I think in the old world, we were living in a world of data lockers, where you had some relationship with a financial institution, and there was some data that was siloed that they owned, and maybe they report it to a consumer reporting agency. It's a database that consumer reporting agency owns. And you as the consumer have this really fragmented identity, and your reputation is subject to the ability and the care with which those counterparties are handling your information and making sure it's accurate and also controlling it, frankly. And I think open finance is a fundamentally new paradigm in which we don't live in a world of data lockers, but we live in a world in which consumers themselves control their data. And so open finance is the technical means to give consumers the ability to control their information, where it lives, whom to share it to, and how to monitor it on an ongoing basis. So there's a lot to be excited about. And I think our business model is fundamentally focused on leveraging those tools, but also building better versions of those tools to allow consumers to put their best foot forward in any context. I'd say what's working well is, I mean, I think open finance has arrived. I mean, I think for a decade or so, it was a theoretical construct. I think there were some, an effort to build from the outside in, to crack into those data silos and to access data. And I think now in the UK, as well as in the US, there is increasingly clear direction that says actually consumers have the right to access and manipulate and control their data as they see fit. And so I do think there's a maturation and an evolution from a ecosystem perspective, regulatory and participants in the ecosystem to acknowledge that and to actually build the technical means. There's a lot of room still to go. I think the areas for improvement come down to building efficient user journeys. So building, it's one thing to have the technical means. It's another thing for consumers to actually be able to get through the journey and be able to retrieve the right information in the right order that's sort of optimal for them and for the business. I think doing that when you have a proliferation of different kinds of data sources, one challenge is knowing which data sources are relevant and at what time becomes the big challenge. And so there's a role for infrastructure providers to build better tooling around that in particular. And then the other one that is something we focus a lot on as well is making those data sources intelligible and useful for specific use cases. And in our case, in our context, we're looking to make all that information that's now available via Open Finance useful for credit transactions and credit underwriting specifically. So it's one thing to say, I can now connect to my bank account and I have more portability within my current account, let's say, but to actually distill that information into a signal that is predictive about what's my financial health, right? How likely am I to be able to afford this loan? That's a wholly different problem and one that requires a lot of expertise and experience seeing those applications play out. And so Nova Credit is, we have announced we've raised a $45 million Series C, and a big part of that fundraising is to continue to invest in our Nova Passport product, but also to invest in Open Finance solutions more broadly. And the solution that we have launched in the US, but is not yet available in the UK, is a product called Cash Atlas, which solves the challenge of helping make bank transaction data useful. So in the US, as you alluded, there are a number of different data aggregators that allow consumers to connect to their bank account. And I would say to date, there's been a lot of progress in the US making it that using those tools to help consumers switch bank accounts and direct deposits and other types of tools. But one thing that's really not been unlocked yet has been allowing the data that is accessible in one's bank account to become useful for a credit assessment. And so Cash Atlas is filling another gap in the legacy credit reporting system, this time allowing anyone with a bank account to offer a snapshot of their financial health by virtue of their bank account transaction information.
I love that you address your Series C fundraising, because I was going to come to that. So congratulations. And the fact that you guys are expanding more on the Open Finance side of things and Cash Atlas. So is this where you think the future of data infrastructure and analysis lies?
Yeah, we think so, and our investors think so, right? I mean, we think that at this point, Nova Credit is an enduring part of the financial infrastructure of the globe, and we have a really unique footprint and a really unique entry point into filling those gaps in the legacy system. If I take one step back, I mean, what's the point of financial data infrastructure? Well, it's to help people establish and maintain a financial reputation, right? If I pay back all of my loans on time consistently, I should get credit for that. And the way the historical infrastructure has been built, I do get credit for that as long as I fit within the paradigm of kind of having stable income and employment and staying within my national boundary and kind of playing within the legacy economy. But as we know, the modern economy is a lot more dynamic. There's a lot more edge cases. People are living very different lives and interacting with the financial system in very different ways now. And so I think the future of financial data infrastructure is happening now, and it's happening by giving consumers more control, more access, and more benefit from their financial reputation, no matter where they live and no matter how they work and no matter how they interact with the financial system. We're filling in the ways that the people can actually benefit from those interactions to establish a financial reputation.
Colin, thank you so much for speaking with us today. But before I let you go, finally, what's next for you guys? I know you guys have expanded to so many markets, but any other expansion plans, any other products, and what's really going to be the core focus and important for you in 2024?
Yeah, thanks for that. I mean, we're very fortunate now to be in a very strong position. I think we came out of COVID, which was a global pandemic that shut down international migration for the first time in a century and was a really existential threat to our business model and the thesis of the company. But we were in a fortunate position. We continued investing throughout COVID, both building products, hiring team, and have emerged stronger. And I think that's now shown. So since our Series B, we've 10x'd our revenue. We're now coming into our Series C with a heightened level of team capabilities with multiple product lines, leveraging embedded finance and Open Finance tools. We're now a footprint in multiple geographies, including the US, the UK, and Canada. I would say what's next for us, I mean, in 24 in the UK, what I would say to that is we're here, we've arrived. Nova Credit and the Nova Passport are part of the financial infrastructure. We're already delivering outsized returns for businesses like HSBC. We expect to be able to continue partnering not only with businesses issuing credit cards, but we also are seeing a lot of traction and excitement and appetite for businesses in other types of lending, like personal loans, and home loans, and student loans. We're also seeing a lot of traction and appetite from other parts of the ecosystem, like tenant screening, so renting flats and not having to put down a deposit. So in the UK, we're going to continue to invest in building out our partnerships, and we're going to continue to invest in growing our footprint. Outside of the UK, we will continue to grow in other markets as well. So I mentioned Canada as a focus area for us as well. And in the US, you know, the Cash Atlas product, we're really excited about. We think it's on the US is, the writing is on the wall, and businesses are scratching their heads trying to figure out how to use bank transaction data for cash flow underwriting. And we think we are the leader in that space. And so we'll continue investing in building product. We are hiring a number of roles across the company and feel really excited about what's around the corner for us in 24.
I can see the passion come across and, you know, the great work that you guys are doing. Thank you so much, Colin, for speaking with us today.
Rashi, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
More power to you and to the team at Nova Credit globally, if I may say. And to all our listeners, thank you once again for tuning into Coffee with Innovate Finance. Please do tune into episodes every Friday on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more on our events and programs. And if you also want to find out more about Nova Credit and keep up to date with their progress. As always, until next time, take very good care of yourselves.